Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, Director of the World Ocean Observatory. We are all aware of the stress on fish species everywhere. There is hardly a coastal community where local fishing has not been impacted by overharvest, unregulated fleets, and an ever-expanding demand for fish products, for basic protein and food products, fertilizer, and many other uses in our industrialized world. The last producing sardine plant in the United States goes out of business. Quota limits reduce the number of inshore vessels and related employment. Persistent organic toxins make some fish unhealthy to eat. Landside conditions create algae blooms that close shellfish beds the length of coastlines. Working waterfronts are abandoned and replaced by industrial and residential developments that only exacerbate the problems. It goes on in every ocean community in the world. Scientific research informs and complicates the problems. Regulators strive for an improbable consensus framework. Politicians equivocate and policies divide conflicting interests. If you look carefully at the condition of fisheries worldwide, you will see more chaos than cooperation, collapsing supply, exponential demand, and traditions that reward independence, indifference to rules and limits, and short-term harvest to the detriment of any sustainable supply for the future. It's depressing. Bluefin tuna is the latest example. Fished for more than 7,000 years in the Mediterranean and Atlantic, popular demand has expanded exponentially over the past few decades. More than 80% of the catch is consumed in Japan, with the balance allocated to the new international appetite for sushi and tuna steak on the grill. Recognizing the problem, the international community invented an intergovernmental agency, ICAT, the International Commission for the Conservation of the Atlantic Tuna, which, for example, in a recent year, recommended the harvest of 15,000 tons, but set the limit at 30,000 and allowed more than 60,000 to be brought to market. Not very effective, to say the least. Marine conservationists look to another tool, the Convention on Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, called CITES, a stronger opportunity to limit or ban harvest by listing the bluefin, as it is done with many terrestrial species as well as other types of fish, whales, and coral. At the recent CITES meeting in Doha, this strategy too ran into opposition and defeat, led by the Japanese delegation arguing that there already exists a regulating body, ICAT, that the proposal allowed European Union countries the exception to catch and trade amongst themselves, and that there was no guarantee that a ban on harvest or trade would actually allow for the rebuilding of stocks. The proposal was voted down. Does this situation sound familiar? Have you heard of similar situations with a fishery of your choosing? Have we not seen before the short-term interest of a vested organization or nation overwhelming science, logic, or even the reality of a policy or structure that has proven successful in the context of realizing sustainability over extinction? At the climate summit in Copenhagen in 2009, the same forces collided. The interests of developed world versus developing, north versus south, rich versus poor, have not, with no compromise apparent politically, regardless of the emergency state of the problem. As in so many cases, it may be that the solution lies with our ability to influence in the marketplace. If we boycott plastic bags, the demand declines and the product profit is compromised. If we change bulbs or turn off the lights, our electrical usage goes down and our energy independence increases. If we follow the suggestions of those wallet cards that show which fish are harvested sustainably and safe to eat, we can shift global patterns of consumption. If we buy locally from fishing co-ops holding to responsible limits, we can change the international financial dynamic on which destructive consumption is based. If we exclude tuna from our sushi selection, we take one revolutionary step toward achieving what government cannot. If we can do it here, perhaps we can do it even in Japan. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory, online at www.thew2o.net. World Ocean Radio is produced by Amelia Poole in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.